Good evening, it's Spooky Boo coming to you from the Lighthouse in Sandcastle, California. Many of you have been waiting for tonight's final episode of the Halloween Costume Tailor. Last year, I put the final touches on part two. This podcast would not be possible without the listeners and Patreon members including Mad Joe, PA Nightmares, Ivy Iverson, John Newby, Patrick McAuliffe, 933thevolt.com, and Bubble Slayer. To find out how you can help support the show and keep it on the air, visit the webpage at www.scarystorytime.com/support, where you'll find links to Patreon, merchandise, and various other ways to tell people you love listening to the podcast. Your patron is much appreciated. One more thing. I'll be a guest on Creature Features next weekend on the 16th of October. Tune in at 9 p.m. Pacific on YouTube or on Coffee TV 20, as well as Apple TV, Roku, and various TV stations around the world. Find out your showtime at www.creaturefeatures.tv. Now let's begin. The Halloween Costume Tailor, Part 3. All Hallows' Eve in Sandcastle. As the ballroom began to fill with people who were very happy to finally be home after a week of being forced out of their houses due to the fires, Roxanne and Augustus stood at the top of the stairs, looking down into the ballroom of the Miller House. Constructed in the mid-1800s, the Miller House was a sight of beauty. People usually came from all over to view the unique mansion overlooking the beach and sandcastle. The owners certainly did reap the benefits of the gold rush, and then some. Now, with just one member of the Miller family left, the home was entrusted to Augustus, who promised to keep it alive in Sandcastle. Little did Mrs. Miller know, Augustus was the original owner of the home back in the 1800s. But she figured he was just a relative, as he was the spitting image of his supposed great-uncle. She didn't even need a DNA test to know they were related. The couple greeted each person who came through the door and up the stairs to the balcony. Not many knew Augustus personally, just that he was new in town and had been courting Roxanne for a while. Roxanne, on the other hand, was now the town's sweetheart. Still as rowdy as she used to be, she had taken a liking to her new role as a philanthropist, which was also a good cover for her lack of a job and her late-night hours. "Roxanne, you're lovely tonight." "Who am I kidding? You're always lovely." Marcus, Roxanne's old boyfriend, now turned werewolf, grabbed Roxanne's hand and kissed her gently. She looked down at him and smiled. At once, Augustus slapped the hand away and then shook it. "Welcome, Marcus. Glad you could make it." Augustus squeezed the lichen's hand as hard as he shook, unaware of the red hue in his eyes. "Dump some corpuscles, Dracula. I'm not here to steal your girl unless you're afraid she'll leave you." Marcus winked at Roxanne. "Guys, come on. Most of these people are just residents of Sandcastle. We're just stuck in this world of simplicity. Let's just get this over with." She walked away a bit disgusted with the two men, always literally fighting over her tooth and claw. "Hello, Mayor Glynn. I'm glad to see you here tonight." Roxanne grabbed a champagne flute for the mayor as the waiter walked by and handed it to him. The mayor gladly accepted the drink. "Lovely, Roxanne. It's been so long. The last I heard from your parents were when you went missing with your friends. Did you ever find them?" A hint of pain stabbed Roxanne in the heart when she thought about the night her friends disappeared. It was the night she met Augustus. Part of her hated him for it, and the compromise of allowing her to live forever embraced her deeply. Roxanne looked away toward her maker, trying to hide whatever tears were about to fall. "No, not a trace. I miss him so." "Yes, I'm sure you do." He put his arm around her. "That's an interesting costume, Mayor," Roxanne said as she ran her hand down the curious leather arm piece. It was human to the touch. "What are you supposed to be?" The mayor stepped back and showed off his rather unique costume. I know it's terrible in taste, but I'm Ed Gein. The leather, though, she cringed when she touched it. It's so unique. I bought it from the gypsy tailor here, you know, Vanslow. He wasn't cheap, but it's the finest in calf leather, so he says. Interesting. Roxanne looked over at the tailor, who remained in his flamboyant gypsy attire. She then glanced at the mannequins in the plexiglass cases as he brought them in. As she examined them, they looked extremely human to her, and now even more so. I'll be back in a bit, Ryan. It was nice seeing you again. Roxanne strolled up to the rather large case containing Ursula the Sea Witch from The Little Mermaid. The gypsy had done such a fantastic job on this piece. Every bit of her looked human. Even the octopus tentacles looked like human skin. She looked over at the gypsy and he smiled, then wandered over to where she was standing. As she examined the supple skin of the fat female mannequin, she studied the blue veins in the skin. Lovely, isn't she? Cyrus whispered. She's very interesting, Mr. Vanslow. Cyrus Vanslow, he interrupted. Your husband hasn't told you who I am yet. Augustus? He told you he was my husband? She laughed a little, then looked again at the figure in front of her. How did you make her so real-looking? And why is she in this case with a digital temperature gauge? She's a special kind of wax. His lie was obvious. Most people didn't even ask. They were just in awe of the costumes and the mannequins. If she goes above freezing, then she will thaw into a big puddle, and we can't have that now, can we? He practically hissed at Roxanne. Roxy glared at the gypsy. She knew there was something odd about this man that she couldn't quite place a finger on. He was definitely not telling the whole truth, and maybe not at all. She looked over at Augustus and grabbed his attention with a stare. Within seconds, he was by her side. What is it, love? He gave the statue a once-over and then at the gypsy. Don't you find this mannequin a little odd, Augie? She smiled, allowing a fang to protrude through her lips. Yes, I do. It's almost like she's real. I've been noticing this with a few of these statues. He turned his attention toward the gypsy. Did you make these? I did, the gypsy said with pride. I also made many of the costumes here. Even the mayor's? He is very interesting. If I didn't know better, I'd think it was human skin. I guess he's put his arm around Roxy. Perhaps it is, or maybe it's just lambskin, like I told him. Cyrus smirked. As he walked away, Roxy tapped the buttons on the bottom of the case and moved it from negative 32 to 80 degrees. What are you doing? Augustus whispered, slightly annoyed. Trying to prove a point. I think these are people. Roxanne flipped the emergency alarm switch at the base of the case to the off position before pulling Augustus away. If I'm wrong, she'll melt. If I'm right, she'll start to rot. As the carnival carried on outside with the rides full of kids screaming and the adults inside enjoying the free champagne and hors d'oeuvres, the richest attendees showed off their costumes made by the gypsy. Roxanne eyed every one of the costumes, knowing the leather was not lambskin or calfskin. Roxy, come take a look at this guy. Augusta pointed at one of the figures dressed up as a pirate he had been staring at for about 10 minutes. What about him? I know him. When I used to hunt in Colorado, I had a vampire friend. This guy looks like a groundsman for his place. Augusta tapped on the plexiglass. You mean hunting humans? God, yes, Roxy. I haven't hunted a deer in 2,000 years. Call him. Roxy handed her phone to Augustus. He won't be there. I'll call later tonight to see if he's fine. Hey, look at that guy, Augie. He's so creepy looking. What a great costume. Roxanne pointed at a cop dressed up in a torn-up police officer's uniform. His neck looked as if it was half eroded or eaten, and his skin was pale, almost a faded green. He looked right at the couple and turned toward the crowd, stumbling over one bum leg. If his limp wasn't fake, he sure did a great job of it. A scream lit up in the crowd of people in the room as the cop grabbed a woman's arm and bit into it. Blood spurted across the row of women standing there admiring her costume, and as they screamed, so did the cop. He let out a howl so full of pain and so loud that it shook the skin oozing from his throat. The bitten woman fainted and began to convulse a moment later. The costume party guests ran in all different directions, causing chaos everywhere. As the people fled, the vampire couple watched in awe at the woman with the bleeding arm as she stood up and began growling at the cop. "We have goddamn zombies here, babe," Augustus nudged Roxanne in the arm. She smiled, and then with one swipe of her arm, she smashed a plexiglass case holding Ursula. "Let's see if this corpse really is wax, as he says." Roxanne pushed the body out of the case. While the inside of the body was still frozen, a few hours on 80 degrees left the outside of the corpse turning gray and rather soft, but not quite rotten as she had been frozen since her death. The zombie cop sniffed at the air like a dog and limped over to the now thawing corpse of the waitress. He dropped to one knee and began chewing on the rotting flesh. When it realized she had been drained of all blood, he looked up at the vampire couple and made his way toward them. "No, you don't want us, death for brains," Augusta moved Roxy aside as the zombie swiped at her. It sniffed at the couple and then retreated, uninterested. The zombie cop treaded toward the door where a frightened Cyrus, the gypsy, was standing. "What have you done?" he screamed at the zombie and then at Augustus. The zombie continued to limp toward Cyrus, but within seconds the gypsy was shooting at the monster. With every blow of a bullet, it staggered but continued on. "Going somewhere?" Marcus grabbed Cyrus by the hair and slammed the door shut with his other arm. The hair on his arms began to sprout out. His bones cracked as they elongated in his human flesh, and clothes dropped to the floor. Underneath his human skin was the new skin of fine brown hair. Cyrus, as disgusting of a serial killer as he was, began to scream as he watched Marcus change into his wolf form. The vampires laughed, watching the zombie limp toward the screaming gypsy. As Marcus held him there by one large claw, the zombie bit into the man's colorful suit, painting it crimson. When Marcus let go, Cyrus fell to the ground, screaming. "Such a waste," Augustus said as he looked around at the Halloween decorations dangling from the ceiling. "It could have been such a fun night." "I rather enjoyed it," Roxy chimed in, watching the zombie with disgust. "I guess I was late as usual," Marcus shrugged. They looked on as the tailor screamed with the zombie tearing into his guts, slurping them up piece by piece. As they did, the police chief ran into the room and shot the zombie officer Billings in the head. "I'm sorry, man," he said as he kicked the officer aside. He was a good man. "Hey, are you guys all right?" Roxanne noticed that Chief Weinsfeld was staring at something to her right with a strange look on his face. She turned to Marcus and laughed. "You better get some clothes on." "Sorry." Marcus covered himself with his hands and ran off. He'd already changed back into his human skin. As the group laughed, Augustus pointed toward the bloodstain on the floor. "The gypsy is gone." As the night carried on, Augustus and Roxy walked down the long edge of the water, both barefoot but not noticing the frigid temperature of the waves. They stopped in the moonlight. Augustus cradled her chin in his hand, and as she stared up at him, he asked, "Why won't you be mine, Roxy?" "You murdered my friends, Augustus, and for that I will never forgive you." She turned away from him and walked toward the hillside steps to the cliff of their mansion, looking over the bay. Something deep inside of her kept loving him, even though she was angry, and it was something she was going to have to live with for the rest of her long vampire life. Thank you for listening. Follow me on social media by searching for Spooky Boo Scary Storytime. You'll also find merchandise such as a new minifigurine, t-shirts, mugs, blankets, and even a pillow at www.scarystorytime.com/merchandise. If you would like to listen to the podcast commercial-free and support the show, visit my Patreon page at www.spookyboo.club and pick the level of membership that is right for you. Join me on Saturday nights to watch creature features on YouTube, while the fans and I watch horror host Vincent Van Dahl interview fun guests, while Mr. Livingston puts up with Changela's shenanigans. Poor Andrew. You can find it on Coffee TV 20 in the Bay Area, and on many different sources such as Apple TV, Roku, and YouTube. Check out the website at www.creaturefeatures.tv for your showtime. That's all for tonight. I'll see you in your nightmares.